Service contracts, Chief, 35,340, in the amount of, this year you're looking for 171,500. What's the service contracts?
So the service contracts, the annual monthly service contracts for all of our stations and our equipment, things such as compressor services, service agreements for our dispatch center, fire alarm testing and repair for our buildings, generator service, hose testing, the life pack service, monitor service, Lucas chest compression service, multi-gas meter service agreements, overhead door repairs, things of that nature that we come before you for to award throughout the year.
Okay. And are there any salary increases in the department above and beyond the contract, step increases, longevity?
No, there are not. There are no increases other than what's contractually obligated.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Councilman Napa.
Thank you. Chief, just a few questions about some of your line items about gear and training. So 35,282 for turnout gear, that line item is substantially lower than previous years. Are we, you have a full complement of turnout gear and we're just expecting to purchase less, or with the people coming out of the academy?
We are expecting to purchase less. We have had a robust program in maintaining our gear and replacing it as required for gear inspections and things of that nature. So we expect to see a decrease in that for this year.
So if we have a decrease this year, it's reasonable that that's going back up in subsequent years?
And
once these things get to
With these recruits,
lifetime.
With the 11 that we have, we're going to need to outfit them, but we will not be increasing. Typically, we've been hiring 12 recruits a year. We don't plan on doing that for FY26, so we will not see that expenditure for the recruits. Okay.
And the next line item down, 35,283, special operations, that request went to zero. Are you not participating in special ops, or did that move?
So we... our special operations is funded jointly by a grant and from the city. So we feel that we can adequately cover what we need to this year with the grant funding that we receive from REMA, which is why the city doesn't show any incurred costs in the budget.
What do those spec ops include?
So it's our technical rescue team. We're a regional technical rescue team for the state. So we'll be able to do some purchases for new equipment and training out of the grant money we receive from REMA.
Okay. So that brings me to my next question then. 35,301 for training and education, is that's decreased by over 40% as well. So is that also going to be allocated through grant money for training and education? I imagine that the ongoing training for your personnel is still going to be...
A lot of it will be, but also we will not be bringing on, as I said, the 12 recruits that we normally would in fiscal year 26.
Okay.
That's going to be a savings right there.
And then just a few questions relative to staffing. You're going to be around 225 when those 11 recruits come out. Is that considered a full complement, or are you still low on full complement?
That'll be a full complement for us.
Okay. When's the last time you were at full complement?
Last July.
Okay. We didn't put any more trucks or frontline vehicles on the road since... in the last few years?
We've, through the SAFER grant that we're in our third year of, mm-hmm. we did put, as a grant, the grant provided staffing for a fifth rescue and additional manpower on our ladder trucks. So we're still in that grant. We're still in our third year of that grant. So those are not contractual obligations, but that is grant funded. That we're still staffing.
Okay. So just so I can understand how your overtime functions, you're paying 225 personnel their flat salary anyway.
Right.
So whether or not they're sitting in backstep of engine three or they're considered a floater, they're getting their base salary no matter what position they fill, correct?
That's right.
Okay. So how would adding more floaters at their base salary increase your personnel cost if you're paying $225 anyway? That doesn't seem logical to me when you made that statement to Councilman Lattiser.
How would adding floaters...
So you were saying that you if you added more floaters to your daily and nightly rotation of personnel on the road and on the front line, it would increase your personnel cost. Your baseline personnel cost is fixed.
So if I added over that 225, if I added additional floaters over than what I have,
okay,
then if I wanted to put more than two floaters on per shift, if the city decided to put seven or eight floaters on per shift, then I'm going to incur a cost for the benefits associated with those positions on top of the salary.
So what you're saying is if you wanted to add more floaters per shift, you would have to exceed the 225.
Yes,
gotcha.
That's correct.
All right, yeah. That makes more sense. And then just so I can get an idea of how overtime actually generates, where does the majority of your overtime come from? Is it call-outs? Is it vacation? Is it injury?
Vacation.
Okay. Is there a policy procedure in place so that you're not doubling up on how many people can take vacation at the same time?
We have a specific number of people that are allowed to be out. We have a specific number of people that are allowed to be out during peak vacation times, July, August. And then we, throughout the rest of the year, there's another amount that we allow to be on vacation so that we don't create a burden for the department.
So the burden of the department would essentially be overtime. So if you adjusted how many people are allowed to be out at any given time, would that inherently lower the burden relative to overtime?
No, because they're allowed a certain number of vacation time for the year. So we, and that's what we factor in to the overtime. Right. So a new firefighter is going to get a certain amount of overtime versus a 20-year firefighter is going to get more overtime. So we factor those costs into our overtime estimate, but because we know they're going to take that overtime, they have to take it or they're going to lose it. So we know they're going to take that overtime. When they take it is not significant to the cost. The cost is there because they're going to be out a set number of weeks.
So your calculation of projected overtime is based on how much overtime each individual firefighter actually has, assuming that they use all the days they have because they're going to lose it. They don't roll over.
Correct.
So essentially it's manufactured via their contract. You know what the overtime is going to be. That's been negotiated into their contract. They've
exactly
negotiated that for themselves.
That's right.
So there is no controlling it.
Correct.
Okay. I guess that answers my question. Unless they don't take their vacation times, which they're definitely going to.
Then they would lose it. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Evening, Chief.
Good evening.
My question is about your grant pipeline.
Okay.
So I know at this point of the year, if you had grants lined up, they may be included here, but you're always working forward. Prospectively, are there any grants that you have put substantial work into that if achieved would yield any savings in this year's budget to the taxpayer?
I guess the question is, would that be discussed here or under fire grants? And I don't know the answer to that because I'm not sure.
I'm happy to hold it, but
it might affect this budget. I just don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So on gear or on apparatus or on repairs or hose or, you know, some of the things we've seen you all bring in, you know, six and seven figure grants in the past.
So we have worked on some grants and over the years. I think the 20. So we did apply for a AFG through FEMA. That's the assistance, the firefighter grant for a ladder truck, but that will be fiscal year 27. The DERA grant, what truck is that? Is that in the truck coming in? That's already, but that truck hasn't been received, but is ordered. All right. There's a DERA grant, which is a diesel reduction emissions grant that's going to offset the cost of one of the pumpers that we have on order. We haven't received yet. I don't have a definitive timeline for when that's going to come in due to the delays we're seeing across the industry, but that grant was for $188,000 that'll go towards the purchase of the truck on order.
Okay. Of the ones that you have in mind that are far enough down the path to speculate, those would largely reduce maybe lease purchase payments in the future or something along that line,
exactly.
but not necessarily operational expenses in this fiscal year.
Correct. Right. The vehicles will be affected by lease purchase.
Great. Thank you.
Councilman Muto.
Hi, Chief.
Hi.
Thanks, Councilman Napper and Councilman Vinny. You answered most of my questions. I have one question left for you. On line or item 799, miscellaneous capital expenditure. One, the increase, obviously the large increase, but obviously you guys have large equipment. Is this part of your replacement strategy over several years? Number one, and number two is, being capital, is the operating budget the right place for it, or should it be in a capital budget?
Good evening, Assistant Chief Elmenham from the Fire Department. So the administration reduced that number, that $1.8 million, they reduced it by 1550. So that number is now $325,000.
Okay.
That is the two items in our capital budget that are funded through the operational budget. The rest of that is through lease purchase, so it wasn't appropriate to be in our operating budget. It was just misallocated.
And I apologize. I just got handed the email that I read 6 hours ago. I totally forgot about it. So thank you.
No problem.
Councilman Gebhardt, are you good?
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Of the remaining, I believe it was $325,000 in line item 35-799, miscellaneous capital expenditure. Any plans for that $325,000 in particular?
Yes, $300,000 of that will be for equipment to upgrade our fire alarm dispatch center, and $25,000 will go towards window replacement to upgrade some of the stations for the energy saving measures we're trying to take.
Oh, that's good to hear. One other item, line item 35-124. And this is always something where, the numbers appear as black and white, but behind it, must be some unfortunate stories. And I'm sorry to hear about any firefighter who suffered an on-the-job injury. So with that said, of course, first and foremost, I know that the fiscal year 2026 request, similar to previous years, there's not an express line item request for 35-124, along with 35-117, sick time, and a few other much smaller items there. I understand from previous years that really those numbers are built into the salary line item and then reallocated, which really makes that salary line item line up much more intuitively, mathematically, for me, when I take a look at the budget overall, factoring that there's an increase in salaries of close to 4% contractually, but the budget is also providing for the loss of 11 positions with the complement going down to 225. So kind of evens out a little bit closer when adding up all of those numbers together. So my question there is, do we, and I know that we cannot anticipate necessarily future injuries, of course, but as to those firefighters who were injured and were receiving the on-the-job injury salary, do we anticipate that that line item is going to decrease in the coming year, or is it going to remain relatively stable?
We have several members that have been out long-term injury. A few may be retiring because of their injury, so that will show a decrease in cost in that line item once they're off the payroll.
Thank you. And without getting too deep into some of the precise math this evening, I think that it might be helpful between now and when the vote occurs if, instead of me just kind of relying on a ballpark back of the envelope type of math, the numbers, of course, listed under the salaries, et cetera, are all very precise. I can mostly get there, but I don't know from back of the envelope math if the salary line items may be effectively over budgeted by a few hundred thousand dollars, or if they're right on the money more or less. So if an email could go out in the next couple of days or so to give us a little bit more insight, that might be, excuse me, that might be helpful. Thank you.
Okay.
Any members of the public have any questions for the fire department?
Chief, thank you for your service, first of all.
Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry, but can you, I know it's annoying.
Jim Italiani. Thank you.
Sorry.
Last year, there was a repair on a fire truck that had a cracked frame. It was $300,000+. Do you recall that?
Last year.
You had to send it off some more. Right.
Yes, I do. Yep.
How did that work out? Was that cost effective? And how long did that increase the service life of that vehicle?
That truck is still going through the repair process. So it's in the process of being repaired. So it's back at the manufacturer having the work done to it. We have not yet received it back.
So is the estimate still close to the same?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But the repair is still ongoing. So I don't think it's going to be that much longer. I would expect within the next 4 weeks, we should, I expect to hear back from them that they send the truck back to us.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other members of the public with a question for the fire department? Seeing none, we move on to EMA. That's on page 23. It's listed as Warwick Emergency Management. Do any members of the council have any questions regarding EMA? Do any members of the public have any questions regarding EMA? Seeing none, we can move on to fire grants. That is also on page 23. Do any members of the council have any questions regarding fire grants? Do any members of the public have any questions regarding fire grants? Seeing none, we can move on to building inspection on page 24. Do any members of the council have any questions for building inspection? Councilman Lattiser?
Good evening. They shut my mic off. Oh, no, they didn't. Hello, Director.
Good evening.
Demolition services, what is that for?
That's your line item 36351.
Yes. excuse me. Normally we have asked for $10,000 in the budget. This year went up $20,000 because we are receiving receivership funding through the court. So we're projecting an extra $20,000. This past year, we deposited $15,600 into the general fund from receivership funds. So that's why you see the $20,000 increase that's projected. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get a little bit more, but that's conservative.
Is there any, did you have any vacancies in your department right now?
We have no vacant positions right now. There are four eligible for retirement, and one has, August 1st will be the construction inspector's last day. So we've already put out the posting to fill that position, knowing that it's going to take a bit of time.
I ask because earlier in the meeting when we started with regards to the reduction in permit fee, not permit fees, but permit revenue, et cetera, I found that concerning. And now I find it even more concerning because if you have any less staff than what you have now, that's going to have a very negative impact on getting the plan reviews out, getting the inspections done, getting the permits issued, et cetera, et cetera. And that is going to have a negative impact on the revenue.
Well, the revenue was projected on what is in the planning board stage. Mm-hmm. So we take a look at that. And of course, we're going to still get the additions and the new houses and stuff.
No, I don't mean just the revenue to your department. I mean the revenue to the city, because the tax stuff doesn't come in until plan review is done, permits are issued, inspections are done, and buildings are occupied. So that's something that, you know, I would certainly need to make sure that your department is fully staffed so you can continue to roll this stuff out.
Right. We're trying to get ahead of the curve with the retirements. So we have one already that we know of. So it's already out as a posting, knowing that there are far and few construction inspectors with the certifications out there. So the plan reviewers are still employed by the city. They're not going anywhere. It's going to be a little bit of a change in the department.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to wait and see.
Because I'm of the belief that your department is a revenue generating department.
Can we make sure to keep things on topic? We're not on revenue, but no. Also there's no proposal that I'm aware of to reduce the number of positions in this department. So I'm not sure how relevant it is for us to talk about that being potentially the case. I know it was mentioned that there's a bunch of retirees and that's obviously concerning, but that's not part of the budget.
I realize that the reasoning for my questioning is when it comes time to make an amendment, perhaps I want to make an addition. And that's the reason for my questions.
Addition?
Yeah.
They're adequately staffed currently. They're already taking steps to make sure they stay that way. If your question is, would more people, in addition to what you have, help you turn around more permits, then that's a question that makes sense.
Perfect question. He couldn't have stated it any better. Director, could you answer that question, please?
More personnel would expedite things in the office, but
thank you. Thank you for that, Director. And thank you for the help, Mr. President.
I'm happy to help you get there.
I'm all set now, though. I got what I needed. Thank you.
Any other members of the council have any questions for building inspection? Any members of the public have any? Oh, are there even? I'll ask anyway. Are there any members of the public that have any questions for building inspections? The empty seats say no. All right, we can move on to parks and recreation. And thank you.
Good evening, Bill Facenti, Chief Staff, Bev Wiley, the Director of Parks and Recreation is is sick right now, so I'm filling in for her. There is a one new position in Parks and Recreation, and it's a harbor master, and I believe that was part of the council's interest in increasing the harbor masters. Other than the contractual raises, there are none. I'll answer any questions you have.
Any members of the council have any questions regarding Parks and Rec? Any members of the public have any questions regarding Parks and Rec? Seeing none, we can move on to the library. Do any members of the council have any questions regarding the library? Councilman Lattiser?
Aaron Kutu, library director.
On your salary line, 43101, mm-hmm. there is almost a $400,000 increase in salaries. And can you explain that?
None of them are outside of contractual requirements or step increases. There's no new hires. That's just related to
the contract. I'm sorry, could you repeat that again? I can't hear you.
Sure. There are no increases that are not tied to contractual requirements or step raises. That's just related to the 53 employees that we have.
So there are no additional increases in salary beyond contractual or step?
That is correct. Everyone, it's either the base contractual increase or obligatory step increases.
Okay. Building maintenance, 43,331.
Mm-hmm.
You have a budget in there for $93,000.
Mm-hmm.
What is the building maintenance that you're looking for $93,000 to do?
Well, that's the number we've had for many years. That covers maintenance at all four of our locations, so the central location as well as the Connecticut, Appanag, and Norwood. Some of the stuff is carried over to there as well. But basically, it's everything from basic cleaning to basic repairs, the installation of repairs that have to be brought in from outside vendors.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm all set.
Any other members have any questions for the library department? Any members of the public have any questions for the library department? Seeing none, we can move on to human services. That's
thank
on page 28.
Good evening, Kathleen Bull, Director of Senior Services.
Does anyone have any questions for Human Services? Councilman Lattiser, I don't know if you turned it on or if it's still on. Got it? All right. Do any members of the public have any questions for Human Services? Seeing none, we can move on to Senior Centers on page 29. By the way, I know I'm not stating it explicitly, but thank you everyone who's stayed all this time to speak or sometimes just to be present for the opportunity to speak. It's appreciated.
Home stretch.
Oh, so for senior centers, do we have anything from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser?
Thank you. Hi, Director. On your salary line item, 47101, same question. Any increases in salary beyond contractual steps?
Nope, no new positions, no deleted positions. We do have one vacancy that's posted, right, that will be posted shortly.
But you've
budgeted, it's not new.
But it's budgeted for.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the council regarding senior centers? Any questions from members of the public regarding senior centers? Seeing none, we can move on to senior transportation, also on page 29. Do any members of the council have any questions regarding senior transportation? Councilman Ricks?
Thank you. I always get a couple of questions from constituents about the transportation and just specifically trips, day trips, that sort of item. How does it look potentially with the, I see $1,000 in the request. How does that translate to services?
Sure, so right now Transwick is doing their regular trips to the market, to the hairdresser, to the bank, to the pharmacy. Those are more vital trips to get people their medications and food. They hope to do recreational trips. Our main hang-up on that is the posted position for a part-time driver that would be providing those trips. So that position has been posted since October. It requires a CDL and a passenger endorsement, so it's a matter of getting that position filled.
Thank you. Hopefully the word goes out. I understand that must be a hard position to fill, but I'm sure that there are some people out there. Thank you.
Sure.
Councilman Lattiser.
Same question. Any contractual or step increases beyond that?
Okay. Nope.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the council for senior transportation? Any questions from members of the public for senior transportation? Seeing none, we can move on to capital. Any members of the council have any questions regarding capital? Councilman Gebhardt.
Just one. Under DPW, just senior center exterior priority one. Is this like the facade and windows and things we talked about? But,
so Bill Pacenti, so these are, the senior center went through a needs assessment and there were priorities associated, roof, flashing, brickwork and things like that. And this is just moving through that process.
Okay. And so, I trust Councilman Lattiser will be consulted before any windows are purchased.
We'll be going through the bid process.
So. Okay. Thank you.
Actually, they consulted me.
Councilman Lattiser.
Very, very good question, Councilman Gebhardt. I thought, at least the numbers, the budget was already approved for those windows. On DPW auto, tractor, trailer, cab, chassis, tell us about that.
Eric Earls, Public Works. I'm sorry, what was the question?
It was on your capital budget for a tractor, trailer, cab, and chassis for $225,000. What is that for?
That's what the cab and chassis. No, that's for the 18-wheeler. Oh, that's right. So we've had that, the piece of equipment that's currently operating has, it literally has probably 1 million miles on it. It's 50 years old. We've done a great
it's
job.
How old?
50? Yeah, it's ridiculous. It was a long haul vehicle when we got it way back when, and we've been using it and maintaining it. And, you know, it's when we consolidate trash or whatever and haul stuff to landfill, or we pick up gravel. And, but right now it's no longer functioning. So that's why it's in there.
Could you save that to deliver windows?
Yes.
Just ask it. Seriously, next question on the senior services total, the planning. There's no monies in this budget for anything at Mickey Stevens. Why?
Correct. It's going to be for next fiscal year. Right now, with the schools and everything else that's going on, we didn't feel it was prudent to issue bonds for additional work at Mickey Stevens.
So are we to take that meaning that there will be no additional work done at Mickey Stevens this year?
No. The DPW and the field guys have done a lot of work at Mickey Stevens to get the fields and everything ready for the high schools to play. The bonds and Mickey Stevens work was for the complete redesign of Mickey Stevens, relocating fields, moving fields, new lighting, which we already have new lighting, just an overhaul, complete overhaul. And that was probably around $10 to $11 million.
Now, there's still a bond sitting out there, right? For
there's a bond
approved, I think, or 7 million.
There were two bonds that were approved by voters but not issued.
And the total of those two are?
I believe it's 10.5.
How much?
10.5.
10.5. Okay. So with the wastewater treatment facility, supervisory control and data acquisition upgrade, $1.5 million.
That's sewer.
What is that?
Councilman, would you mind waiting for that question until sewer comes up here and just get it all at once?
Sure.
Okay.
Wastewater.
That's sewer.
Which department were you looking under? What sewer?
I'm sorry. Okay, I got it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I got your point, Mayor.
No, is that good with the capital questions, though, Councilman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Councilman Ricks.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
I apologize.
A quick one. I saw that the fiscal year 26 includes the ADA accessibility improvements at the Norwood branch. Just wanted to get a brief update on that, see if that might actually be completed within the next year or so.
That project's on hold right now. It came in, the lowest bidder neglected to include the cost for the actual elevator, which is $200,000. The next lowest bidder was about $250,000 to $300,000 over our bid. And because it's an earmark grant, that requires both ADA improvements to both Norwood and Appanag. If you don't do both of them, you have to return the money. And it literally takes an act of Congress to change the requirements of those grants. And I'm not sure if the Congress has an appetite. So we're looking at rebidding that.
I see.
And identifying new sources of revenue for it, or grants.
Thank you for the update on that. My other questions, I'll wait until outside of the council meeting. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions on capital? Any members of the public have any questions on capital? Seeing none, we move on to the enterprise funds. Sewer. And my understanding is that there's at least one question for sewer. Councilman Lattiser.
Good evening.
Evening.
Betty Ann Rogers, Director, Warwick Sewer Authority.
Good to see you.
Hi, Director.
Hello.
So I'm probably going to jump back into the capital budget, but the question was supervisory control data acquisition, $1.5 million, and I'll just kind of run down. Gravity thickener, $4 million. Improvements to biosolids, $7 million. Just give us an overview on that $13 million or so.
Sure. So you're referencing our capital improvement plan and our plans for FY26. We have earmark grant, a CDS grant, in the amount of $1.5 million that we obtained obligated funds for from the EPA, and we've already started that project. So we see that coming to fruition. Believe the deadline for that project is February 28th of 2026. So that particular CDS grant requires that we provide 20% matching funds. So $375,000 of that will come from our renewal and replacement program. And then the 1.5 is coming from the EPA. The other projects that you mentioned, the GT odor control, that's a project that's on our project priority list with Rhode Island DEM, so we can obtain state revolving fund loan proceeds to pay for that particular project. The biosolids handling, that's another project that we're just starting. We're working with our engineers to develop a means for us to produce what's called cake. It's the driest form of sludge, so that we can dispose our dried sludge at Synagrow. I don't know if anyone's aware, but Woonsocket, the wastewater treatment facility there and the solids handling facility there will no longer be taking liquid sludge, which greatly impacts the state of Rhode Island. They take approximately between 25% and 35% of our liquid sludge, concentrated sludge, but now we'll only have Veolia taking the liquid sludge. So we have to come up with a means of producing what's called cake. and that we can now continue to utilize Synagro services. But again, it's going to be one of those things that's going to be quite costly. But that's the other project that you mentioned, Councilman.
Thank you. On your electricity budget, you've got a 350% increase on that.
What happened in for FY25 is there are multiple line items in our budget that we receive projections from the finance department. So the amount that they told us to budget for FY25 was very low. We're actually over budget at this point.
I see that.
And moving forward in FY26, anticipating that, yes, we're going to have higher electrical costs. We're not going to be getting all of these different Captona credits that I believe they thought that we were going to be getting. And that's why the budget's much higher. But that's pretty much in line with what we thought it may be last year. And then for this year, FY25. But then the Captona charges really didn't amount to as much as we thought they were going to. So that's why we're over budget, but we're planning for that, and we have adequate funding for FY26.
Over budget, almost $800,000.
Yes.
Budget. And you got those numbers to budget for electricity?
The finance department actually tells us what we can anticipate because they're the department that handles all of the Captona credits.
And 2024, you had a budget, an actual budget of $865,000.
Correct.
And then that was reduced down to $222,000.
It was actually even less than that.
No one questioned it?
It was less than that.
It was what, please?
It was actually less than the $222,000. That $222,000 included a 2.75 or whatever interest calculation that they did. I'm not aware of the procedures that they use to calculate that. We've actually become much more involved in this process because they have a new budget analyst, Aaron Isaac actually does the calculation. So he's been working with us to determine what we would need for FY26. Prior to that, we were just told what to budget.
And in fiscal year 2023, it was $185,000. This is like kind of bizarre.
That's because the credits were applied to the account. We received credits in both FY23 and 24. So it was greatly reduced. And that's why the 222 sounded like, okay, this is going to work. Instead of us budgeting all this money, getting all these credits, we'll budget for what we're being told, 222, because we know we're going to get a bunch of Captona credits. And then it ended up being a lot more expensive than we had budgeted for.
But fiscal year 2024 wasn't reduced. It was increased. Fiscal year 2023 was $184,547. And in 2024, it's $856,516. So it wasn't reduced. It was increased. Then in 2025, this year, it was reduced to $222,000. And that's where I'm asking the question. Nobody questioned that, a $600,000 reduction?
The credits were applied the following year, that $865,516 in FY24. And then the credits were applied the following year. Is that correct?
When you say the following year,
There was a lot of work that went into actually getting these credits. They I believe that they accumulated over maybe a couple of years, 2-3 years, and then they were applied. That could be why it was so low in 2023.
And
in 2024, we were expecting more credits, which we didn't get, but then we were told we would get more in 25. And that's why it was budgeted as low as it was.
So you didn't get the credits in 2025?
We are getting some credits, but it's not as much as what we thought we were going to get, what we were told to budget for.
So in 2025, you're going to end up projected right now $957,000. That does not include any credits that may come in?
No, there are credits coming in.
How much credits?
I, Councilman, I apologize, but I don't know exactly how these calculations work. This is something that is handled by the budget analyst, okay, by the finance department. It's not anything that we partake in. We do talk with them about the kilowatt usage. We check our bills to make sure that the kilowatt usage is in line with the trends that we've seen through the years. I mean, we haven't built any new buildings since the phosphorus building went online at our treatment facility. We have 49 pump stations. We haven't added any more pump stations. So our electric charges are based on the kilowatt usage and whatever the charge is per that kilowatt hour. That hasn't changed. It's the actual application of the Captona credits. That is something that we don't participate in. That's handled by the finance department, right, because those credits are applied across the city to the different departments.
Okay. All right. Bypass pumping. That's another item with a 900% increase.
Yes. We are looking to do a lot more investigations in our collection system this year. For those high flow locations, it will require that we do a small bypass so that we can actually get the camera in the line and do some CCTV work, inspection of those lines. Recently, we had a break in an interceptor located on Falcon Meter in that neighborhood, and it was quite costly, the bypass work that was done. And what we would like to do is be proactive, scheduling bypasses so that we can get in and do investigation in these very deep, very large interceptors that have substantial flows that our own equipment, our own CCTV equipment cannot do. So that's why we're looking to that this year.
And the grinder pumps, I'm fairly certain that I have the answer on that. While it's a significant increase right now, it's because of Bayside, and yeah, you will be reimbursed from the residents as they purchase these grinder pumps, right?
The grinder pump is included in the assessment of $16,900 per EDU.
Right.
We did do a very large order, not this past year, well, this in FY25, but in FY24. We bought a significant number of grinder pumps. We have probably around 300 left, but we're going to order another 59 this year to make sure that we're covered when those connections start happening. We've already had 110 connections this year,
right,
with Bayside.
While I'm on the Bayside, I need to congratulate and thank you and the sewer department, as well as the contractors, for all of the work down there in Bayside. That was a monumental uphill project, a very expensive project, a time-consuming project. In addition to the people I just recognized, also a real shout out to the Narragansetts, who were extremely helpful in getting this project done. And I can literally say in less than one hand, the amount of calls complaining during, what, 3 years of construction going on there?
Right.
Good job.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So, one issue that I've been following up with your predecessors previously in years past was, well, are the so-called gap projects in Ward 2, the most significant of which is the hill just east of Elmwood Ave, streets such as Ring, Riston, Heath, Sumner, Wingate. I'm not sure where I received certain information, but I have it in my notes way back in 2018 that Wingate had not been, or excuse me, Riston has not been paved since the year 1980. And part of the reason for that is that there's always the thought that, well, going to get sewers eventually, let's hold off on paving until time for sewers. So it is something where I'm hearing from people now and then that they're getting tired of waiting and they go and invest in very expensive septic systems, or they kind of get in a position where they have to. Is it possible that we might be getting to closer to a point of being able to pull the trigger on that Ward 2 gap project?
The gap project, that's exactly what I was going to mention, the gap project. Right now, I have to say that our primary concern are several rehabilitation projects, including the Elmwood Interceptor, which basically flows through the area where we had the compromise in January. So I don't foresee that project happening anytime in the near future, and I apologize for that. But there's a lot that would go into a GAPS project there, being more low-pressure system based on some of the elevations, and it would be very costly to put in a pump station in that particular area. I think we had discussed this via an email at one point.
Yes. And
I really don't see that happening anytime in the near future. We have Northwest Garten Pond, which is planned for 28. I believe it's been moved out to. Let me just look at this. And we do have some GAPS projects that would be planned for 29 and 30. So we're extending that out.
I see. One other quick one. So it's my understanding that one of the obstacles with the bypass at Easton and Meter was that there was a misunderstanding about exactly where the line ran, and that caused some delays. Is this the sort of thing that perhaps there could be some proactive work done with mapping some of these old lines that might or might not accurately be on the maps? I know that, you know, GPS technology has come a long way.
What line item are you referring to in the budget?
Whichever line item relates to the cost overruns at Easton and Meter. I suppose I could ask the question outside of the budget hearings. Thank you.
It's not a bad question. It just doesn't seem quite on point for the budget.
Well, we're doing a lot of mapping with GIS, and we're working now with a new system that will actually allow our CCTV equipment and a Tremble unit to actually remap the lines as the camera goes through, and then it will populate our GIS layer, which...
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Director, I forgot to ask you my famous set of questions. Any salary increases beyond contractual or step increases? And I notice you've listed here a 14.5% increase in salaries.
We have longevity increases this year, nothing beyond the contractual agreement. We have longevity. We have 7 individuals that will receive longevity increases. We are also adding a full-time equivalent position. It does not show up on the personnel supplement. It was inadvertently omitted when it was prepared, but we are adding another full-time equivalent. It's required under a consent agreement that we have presently with Rhode Island DEM for our EPA capacity management operations and maintenance program, our CMOM program.
That position that you just said was inadvertently eliminated in the sewer authority.
It was omitted. We did, when we met before the budget, you know, our final budgets were printed, we, you know, obviously we met with the administration and the position was approved. It's basically a requirement of our RIPDES permit. It's a consent agreement that we have with DEM to do these collection system inspections. We need additional personnel in that department, and that position is a requirement. Otherwise, we'll be fined. I have to respond to DEM by June 2nd, letting them know that it's been approved. So we did discuss it. It wasn't added to the personnel supplement. It was an oversight on the part of whoever prepared the personnel supplement, but it was included in our request to the administration.
Is that the Director of Operations Maintenance?
No, it was called Collections Administration. So that person is going to be responsible for looking at the GIS mapping, the inspections, our asset management, and also performing inspections. It was not included in the personnel supplement.
But is it included in the $3,038,229?
Yes, Councilman, it is.
and the director of operations and maintenance in your personnel supplement, that has been X'd out. That's not going to be filled?
That is correct.
And again, I just want to be sure that I'm clear that there are no salary increases for anyone in your department over the contractual requirements, step increases, longevity.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any members of the public have anything for sewers? Seeing none, we'll move on to water. And just as an FYI, depending on how long this takes, we will have to stop for a moment to vote on waiving Rule 21, because normally we would be forced to stop at midnight. But we'll play it by ear, depending on how long we go. So do anyone have any questions for water? Any members of the...
Hold on one minute. Give me a chance. I was still making notes from sewer. Yes, I do have questions for water, and I'll make them quick. Same questions. Any salary changes beyond contractual step in?
Eric Earls, Public Works. We have no changes to positions, no changes to salary with the exception of the contractual. We do have a handful of vacancies, but other than that, yeah, no changes.
Okay. It was told to us earlier that we're back up to a $4 million accounts receivables on water sewer bills. When will those, when will things start the process again, like it did when we dropped it from 6 million to 800,000? Are you going to start doing those notices, the yellow notices we designed, as well as the red notices for shutoffs? And if not, how do you plan on collecting this $6 million? I don't want to go back out again like we had to do years ago.
Be two delinquent notices and one shutoff notice per year.
Say that again?
Two delinquent notices and then one shutoff notice.
For each of those that come up to the $4 million, right? Okay, when is that going to stop? I can't hear him. Would you have Eric have him go to the mic, please?
Mike St. Pierre, business manager. All right. So currently, right now, we issue two delinquent notices a year and one shut off notice a year as well that Eric mentioned. Basically, we've already sent out the first delinquent notice. We send it out a month before the tax sale. And we also send it out in the September timeframe. So it's twice a year. Those are the two times. And after the second delinquent notice, we give them up to 3 weeks to either enter into payment plans or to pay it off. But then at that point, we will send out the shutoff notices, which are the red notices. And basically, we determine delinquencies by a minimum outstanding balance of $750. And the thing you need to understand is that some individuals, to reach that $750 minimum balance, could actually take, you know, a year or two. And then we have other individuals that could probably reach that outstanding balance within a year or even a couple quarters.
So essentially, you're going to go back to that process. I believe you were on that committee, right?
Yes, that is okay. Correct.
So, you're going to be going back to that process that we had designed back then.
You are correct.
Thank you.
Now, something to keep in mind, I will add to that, is the fact that we have a self-imposed moratorium on water shutoffs, and that is from the beginning of April until the end of May. No, I'm sorry. What am I saying? All right. So from September
right
until April.
Right. Yeah. And in addition to that, there's no shutoffs done after Thursday. Thursday's a cutoff day for shutoffs.
That's correct, right.
To allow them to come in on Friday.
Exactly, okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. I remember most of it. Thank you.
Councilman Ricks, how are you feeling about your questions? Because otherwise, we're going to have to do the vote.
Very quick, more of a comment. For the benefit of the new members on the council, water and sewer, we have zero control over their budgets. We can't add, subtract, transfer within any money, correct?
Correct. That's enterprise fund.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Are there any other questions for the water department? Does the public have any questions for the water department? Seeing none. Do we have a motion to close the public hearing? Motion made by Councilman Lattiser, seconded by Councilman Ricks. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right, so that passes. And now we have a motion. We need to have a motion to hold PCR 65-25 and PCR 66-35 to Thursday, May 22nd.
So moved.
So moved by Councilman Napa, seconded by Councilman Gebhardt. Is there any objection to holding PCR 65-25 and PCR 66-35 to Thursday, May 22nd? Seeing no objection, so held. Now we need a motion to adjourn. Motion made by Councilman Lattiser, seconded by Councilman Ricks. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. So moved. See you back here on Thursday.